This is the Truth Network.
A huge shout out to all of our awesome caregivers out there. And that's a whole lot of people. That's people that are in homes taking care of people that are sick with heart conditions, people that are sick with all kinds of problems, and even this coronavirus, which is going around, and people that are caregivers in the healthcare industry, doctors, nurses, first responders. Someone is on the line with me right now to give you a whole burst of encouragement, because this guy is a bundle. This guy's like a nuclear warhead of encouragement. His name is Peter Rosenberger, the host of Hope for the Caregiver, the author, the prolific jazz pianist. Peter, you've been through caregiving, my friend, and you have a ministry, and I thank you for coming on with us here briefly on Truth Talk Weekend to encourage our folks out there.
A nuclear warhead for caregivers.
You've never had that one yet, have you? See, I'm bringing some fresh stuff, fresh material here, man.
It is fresh. Well, listen, thank you, Stu, for having me on, and thanks for talking about this subject and spotlighting this group of individuals who are doing this day in and day out. I am one of them, been doing it for 34 years for my wife, Gracie, who had a really bad car accident 37 years ago, 80 surgeries, both her legs are gone, pulmonary emboli, multiple bouts with MRSA, and now she has the coronavirus.
Wow.
So this is our journey, and the American people are kind of feeling right now what a lot of caregivers have felt for a long time, the loss of independence, the isolation, the loss of identity. And those three I's, I call them, are consistent with every caregiver I've ever met. And we go through those things, and now the country is dealing with that, particularly that isolation, that loss of independence. Yeah. These are hard things to deal with. And there are ways to navigate through this and come through stronger and more in touch with your faith and with the Lord, but it's not going to be easy, and it has to do with the way we think. A lot of people, if you notice, everybody's wanting to feel better. Well, right. Feeling better can't be the goal. Gracie's never going to feel better about the loss of her legs and the relentless pain she lives with. She's never going to feel better about all the things that she's never going to feel better. Just the hardships of life, but we can be better in them.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. It's not to feel better; it's to be better.
Yeah, and that's where the hope comes in. You push a lot. You're a hope dealer, man. You are pushing hope like crazy, brother. And you're really instilling a whole generation of people, a whole culture. You've got your national radio show, which we're pumped about, and we're getting behind even more now.
Well,
and
I'm part of your podcast network.
That's exactly right. And a lot of you may not know this. I think if you just Google on podcast Truth Network, you'll see Peter right there with Hope for the Caregiver. It's a weekly power pack program. You take calls, you give people encouragement. Peter, I've heard you share scripture with people. I've heard you throw out some tough love for people who are trying to be caregivers for folks with addicts. You're sharing with them how they need to biblically speak the truth in love in tough situations. I mean, you're doling out. It's a whole gamut of things. But where does this hope ultimately come from, Peter? How would you, if you went to the bottom line, what would you say to that?
It comes from anchoring ourselves in Christ.
Mm.
There is no other place to go. Believe me, I've tried.
Amen.
And
wow.
but see, hope in the English word is too often interspersed with wish and desire.
Yep.
And that's not the hope that Scripture refers to. The hope that Scripture refers to is this anchoring of our soul in what the reality of what God has done. I did an interview the other night on Fox News. I was with Shannon Bream, and they asked, talk about this a little bit with the COVID-19 and all these things. And I live in Montana now. We moved out here and after living in Nashville for many, many, many years. And we sit up at 6,000 feet, and we're in the Rockies, and everywhere I look, it's a postcard. It's exquisitely beautiful.
Beautiful.
Where
yep.
everywhere we look.
And you've invited me to come visit, and I gotta throw the Christian car guy and our families in the station wagon, and we gotta drive out there to see you sometime.
We're gonna have to get a tall horse for you.
That's exactly right.
But I told Shannon Breen this. I said, everywhere I look, it's beautiful. But Scripture says that all creation is groaning.
Mm.
Even the beautiful things that I'm looking at, there's a moose out here that has just had a calf.
Oh, wow.
I see the tracks. I haven't seen the calf yet. But even that's groaning. It's beautiful as it is to watch a moose. And when I feed the horses, my brother-in-law has horses out here, and I feed the horses, and they come running up to me in the snow and galloping through the snow and kicking it all up. And it's just like movie quality, beautiful. But even that's groaning. And we're part of that creation, and we're going to groan. And we're going to have painful, painful things in our lives, harsh things, things that we don't like. And we're groaning with them. But that doesn't mean that there's still not pristine beauty in the midst of the groaning. And if we somehow think that we can't have joy, or that we can't have peace, or that we can't have calmness in the midst of whatever travails, then we're missing the whole point of Scripture. Daniel fell asleep in the lion's den. Elijah fell asleep while Jezebel's people were chasing him.
Wow.
Jesus fell asleep in the boat. Paul and Silas sang hymns around midnight after being stripped naked and beaten that day. That's the picture of where the hope is. Yeah. The hope is not in our circumstances making us feel better. The hope is knowing that what he has done has is the ultimate deposit, if you will, that all this is going to be made new. What he's done on the cross is so massive that it reframes everything. And that's done. And in his time, he's going to make all these things new. And we're going to give him the glory. We're going to see that he had a purpose even for all the things that are going on right now.
And we have the hope of heaven. And you interviewed Johnny Erickson Tata, one of my heroes, recently on your show, who's been literally, you know, in this, she's been trapped in this wheelchair, but the fact is she's leveraged that wheelchair as a pulpit, as a rolling pulpit, to proclaim the goodness of God and to invite millions of people to Christ through her ministry. How could that be, Peter? How could people like your wife, Gracie, express so much grace of Christ and bring so many to Christ through, you know, having 80 plus surgeries? It's just remarkable through her beautiful voice and all the music she's recorded with Johnny Erickson and so many others. Peter, what an amazing, say something to that real quick, and then we're going to take a quick break and come back on the other side of that break. But speak to that real quick, how to leverage all the tragedy into the light of Christ.
It's not that we necessarily leverage it. It's just that that's where he meets us, is in our greatest need.
Yeah. Wow.
That's where he intersects us, because at that point, when we realize that our need is greater than anything we can bring to the table, that's when Christ says, well, now you get it.
Yeah. Wow.
See, all you need is need.
Mm.
You know, you don't, but as long as you think you've got this and your bank account is okay and you're feeling okay and your job's going great and your family's going great, you're not going to cry out to a Savior that you don't think you need.
Yeah, and this is forcing us to our knees. And there's no better place to be than to be the poor in spirit, beggar in spirit, because suddenly God's grace can flow in and pour in and do mighty things, more of which you're going to hear about in just a second. For our awesome radio listeners, we're going to take a quick break. And for our podcast folks listening to us, and you can also hear Peter's program on our Truth Network podcast network also. It's remarkable. You got to hear it. You got to listen to it. It's just tremendous. You're going to hear more in just a second with my good friend Peter Rosenberger, author, talk show host. He's like a 20th degree black belt, if such a thing exists, in all kinds of martial arts, loves Jesus, accomplished musician, and a caregiver. And we're going to talk to him more in just a second. Hang on. I want to say a special thank you to a wonderful partner helping us advance the message of this program of the gospel. And the thank you goes out to MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has now opened his heart to say thank you as well. He wants to give you the opportunity to do what I've done. I've slept on this pillow. I love MyPillow. I sleep better. What would you give for a good night's sleep? Right now, for the first time, you can get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products. I'm talking about the MyPillows, the mattress toppers, the bed sheets, and the body pillow. All their products right now, all you got to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials. MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and you'll save big. You won't believe the savings. Just enter promo code TRUTH when you get there. All these products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You can also call this toll-free number, 800-944-5396. Thank you, MyPillow, for partnering with us to advance the good news of the gospel, and thank you to all you guys that have checked them out and supported our sponsors. Peter Rosenberger is with us right now because you want to know what to say to people. What do you say to doctors and nurses and caregivers who are working feverishly around the clock? Someone right now has to set their alarm for 2 a.m., for 3 a.m., for 4:30 a.m. Not just one of those times, all of those times. Why? Because they're giving care to a spouse who they have to wake up to make sure that spouse is still breathing because the spouse is on a ventilator, because the spouse is fully dependent on care. There's thousands of unsung heroes out there, and there's a man of God with me right here, right now, by the name of Peter Rosenberger. Peter is a rock. Literally, Jesus named that disciple, went from Simon to Peter, just like this disciple, modern-day disciple Peter, is a rock for so many who are struggling. Peter, caregiving is real. And when I just talk about you, when I talk about you to people who are caregivers, who are exhausted, they're working their third job, they're on the phone all the time, they're on call all the time, there's no rest for the weary. When I just tell them about your show and what you do, they just like a smile comes on their face. And they're like, wow, you mean there's a guy like that out there that gets us, that understands that? Why is there such a need to love on these caregivers, especially right now in the culture? Can you speak to that?
Well, you've heard the story of how my wife lives with significant challenges. Well, what happens to her if I go down? And this is the question I ask for everyone that's involved in what I do. I am laser beam focused on the heart of a caregiver. I don't, on my show and everything else, I really don't spend a lot of time teaching people how to care give because that would be foolish. I can't take care of your loved one anymore than you can take care of mine. My focus is on the train wreck of the caregiver's heart. If the caregiver's heart and mind are squirrely, the wallet is not going to be far behind. I just got, somebody wanted to join my, we have a Hope for the Caregiver Facebook group that I do just for caregivers out there. I have the page and all that kind of stuff, but this is just a group for them. And they said, my dad is taking care of my mother with dementia, and he's exploding. I mean, he's gaining so much weight, and he's so angry and everything else. These are all normal things that caregivers go through. And I speak fluent caregiver. I've been doing it now for 34 years.
It's like
years.
A language, isn't it?
It is a language. But you know what? That's what Paul Young, is, who wrote The Shack, is going to be on my show, Sydney. And I'll have the podcast out there on the Truth Network here. Probably it's not Sunday night, certainly Monday morning. But he and I were talking about that. And, you know, that's what love is love is speaking in someone else's language.
Yeah. Wow.
And ultimately that's what Christ did for us.
Yeah. Wow.
He condescended to us.
Isn't that something?
And,
amen.
And so that's the whole point of this, is that we are modeling what Christ has done. And when we understand the magnificence of the cross, then it reframes every conversation we're going to have about this. And so you asked, what do you say to these people? Well, the first thing I say to every caller that calls in to my show and when I meet a caregiver, how are you feeling? And they're not used to answering that, Stu. They're used to answering how their loved one is feeling, and they're reading their loved one's chart. But they're not used to talking from their own voice. And there's an old hymn that I play. I put it on my CD, Songs for the Caregiver. You can stream it today on every service and get it wherever CDs are downloaded, whatever. But I put on there, Jesus loves me. It's just an instrumental because I needed to know for myself. I needed to reframe my own conversation. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know he loves Gracie, but he loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it's a very personal relationship that I have with God through his son Christ that is not, yes, he loves all of us, but he loves each of us.
Mm.
And that's the gospel, is that when he hung there on the cross, he knew my name.
Mm.
My name is engraved in the palm, wow, of his hand. And to all those caregivers that are listening right now to this network and to this show, and some of you got tears flowing down your eyes, your face here. But I want you to understand that he truly knows your name. He sees what you're doing in the middle of the night.
Mm.
He sees the laundry. He sees the struggling at the kitchen table trying to figure out how to pay for this and that and so forth. He sees all this. He hasn't abandoned you, and this is not punishment. He will meet you in these things.
Wow.
And if people say, well, I don't know what to do, I said, well, do the next right,
yeah,
thing.
Wow.
And the next right thing may be to take a nap.
Yeah, that's very practical, but very true. And a lot of folks, they need a nap. We're going to close our time with you praying for all the caregivers out there. Peter, right now, before we get to that point, just in a couple minutes, right now, would you speak to everyone out there who is not a caregiver, but everyone knows a caregiver? And some folks have suddenly been thrust into being a caregiver. Suddenly, mom and dad aren't doing so well. And mom and dad are home, and they got to take care of them. They got to feed them. They got to change bedpans. They got to do stuff that's not so pleasant to do in the name of Jesus, of course, and trying to have a positive, outlook on that. But would you speak to all of us out there in how we can? We might not be able to hug, per se, a caregiver, a doctor, as much. I mean, when I see a doctor, nurse, these people, I just want to go give them, I'm a hugger. I want to hug them. I just want to hug, yep, them and say thank you. I don't even have words, honestly. These people are working tirelessly. I just saw a report of a bunch of nurses from the South just dropping everything and going up to New York City to just volunteer up there to help.
Don't hug them right now.
That's right. But what's a way, how do we express, give me some practical ways to express love. Just throw out some things that we can express love to caregivers right now.
One of the things that I tell people is look them in the eye and quietly say, I see you, and I see the magnitude of what you're carrying, and I hurt with you, and I want you to know that you're not going to go through this alone.
Mm.
And then just start with that and see where the conversation goes.
Wow.
Don't say, what can I do to help? Don't do that.
Okay.
Go ahead and think of something to help. You know, is somebody getting your gutters cleaned? Is somebody mowing your grass?
Mm.
Do you need some milk? I'm at the grocery store. Whatever. And there's so many different things that you can do to help people, but it starts with seeing them as an individual. Remember, you get the privilege of being the very hands of Christ to an individual.
Mm.
But you speak to the heart. Always speak to the heart. Just say thank you. To these doctors that you want to hug and so forth. Thank,
yeah,
you. And don't make a big production about it. There are little things that you can do. It doesn't have to be some kind of big thing. But the main thing is we're going to have to speak to their heart and somehow penetrate through that fear, through that guilt, through that obligation, through that resentment, and let them know that Christ knows their name.
Amen. I love
and
it.
They just, are important. Yeah,
just sharing the love of Christ and understanding that there's a whole set of people out there called caregivers that are facing a battle that we have no idea about. And being aware of that is huge. And Peter, your decade life of caregiving, especially in the case of your sweet wife who's had over 80 surgeries and who's just recently been diagnosed with this COVID and she's fighting hard for her life, and God's been so good, and thank you for all the reports, and our prayers are with Gracie and with you there.
Well, They say I got it now. They're testing me on Monday,
okay,
and they're going to see if I have antibodies, and if so, they're going to take my blood. They want my blood so,
wow,
they can help other people with it.
Well, we're praying for you, man. We need to love on, encourage you.
If they take my antibodies, Stu, that means a lot of people are going to get preacher, TV preacher quality hair.
Are they going to suddenly get a sense of humor? Because you're like the funniest person I've ever met.
I hope so, because we need a sense of humor in this thing. And our hearts can be lighter because Amen. We know that this is not the end of the story. And I will leave your listeners with this. If he's Lord at all, then he's Lord of all.
Amen. That's so cool. And that's, I love that. You know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It takes 10 times as many muscles in the face to frown as it does to smile. And Peter, you're putting smiles on people's faces. I turned your show on. You're cutting up. I'm like, wait, you're supposed to be talking about people that are fighting cancer and battling, losing their hair and in wheelchairs and paraplegics, and people are cutting up on this show. What's going on there, Peter? How can that be?
Well, because we have a great Savior.
Amen. Isn't that something? Well, you're a blessing. Say a prayer, will you, for all the medical caregivers, the people that are our heroes in the culture. Say a prayer for everyone, will you, out there, Peter? Just lift them up, will you, in this last moment here?
Father God, I thank you for this opportunity just to come as believers. Thank you for Stu. Thank you for the Truth Network. Thank you for all the people there that are working hard to bring the hope of the gospel into people's lives. We'll never know all the people that are listening, Father. And right now, there are not only folks listening that are in the caregiving industry as far as medical staff and so forth, but there are people that are in relationship to them, that know them. And we just ask that they hear these words, and Father, and increase their vocabulary on knowing how to speak to these folks and be able to speak directly to the heart. Give them supernatural insight and wisdom to the troubled heart of the individuals they meet so that they can, with clarity and authority, minister the gospel to them. And Father, those caregivers that are just at their wits' end, strengthen them today, Father. Let them know that you have not abandoned. This is not punishment. This is not penance. That was all taken care of at the cross. And Father, if they have not committed their life to you, if they have not accepted the salvation through Christ, Father, just quicken in their heart right now. Let them hear the tug of your Holy Spirit inviting them to the cross and understanding what that means, and that pastors be ready to receive them and churches be ready to minister to them and disciple them through this. Thank you for Stu. Bless him on his trip weekly through Acts right now and other parts of Scripture that he's doing, and strengthen him as well, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Lord. Quickly, we want to pray for Peter. Bring healing to him, Lord, and bring complete healing. And for his sweet wife, Gracie, thank you that you've gotten her thus far through this, and bring her through it, Lord, and just may their voice be ever stronger, proclaiming the goodness of the Lord to so many people in need of hope, and bless them, bless their ministry, and Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. In his mighty name we pray, amen.